This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
The AI explosion has brought about the first $5 trillion company, NVIDIA. The first $5 trillion valuated company. Who would have ever believed it? Who would have ever believed it? Sam Altman touts the trillion-dollar AI vision. Soon after the ChatGPT was released to the public in late 2022, just 3 years ago, OpenAI CEO Sam Altman told employees they were on the cusp of a new technological revolution. OpenAI would soon become the most important company in the history of Silicon Valley, Altman said. There's no shortage of ambition in the U.S. tech industry. Meta boss Mark Zuckerberg and Amazon founder Jeff Bezos often speak of transforming the world. Transforming the world. Don't forget those words. As a sport of kings, said Gil Luria, an analyst at D.I. Davidson, AI is the sport of kings. Well, what do kings want to do? They want to rule. And that's exactly where the problem is. The question is AI dangerous? Is AI dangerous? Well, I asked that question of AI. Yes, I went to Google, that source of inevitable wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and asked the question, is AI dangerous? Would you be interested in knowing the answer? This is AI answering its own information. Is it not possible to give a simple answer? Well, it's not possible to give a simple yes or no answer to whether AI is dangerous, said AI. The potential for danger depends on a range of factors, from how the technology is developed and applied to the nature of future advancements like artificial general intelligence. Concerns exist on both the immediate and real-world risks and longer-term, more speculative threats. Well, what would those consist of? Would you be interested in knowing what the near-term dangers of AI are? Perhaps you already think you know. Well, let's just go over them for a few moments. And I want to ask you, before we do this, to consider whether any of these dangers on the short term have anything to do with biblical reality in discussing the end of the age before the second coming of Jesus Christ. All right, here we go. These are the present day risks of misuse of existing AI technologies, or just their use. The first is bias and discrimination. Another is misinformation and manipulation. Another, cybersecurity threats. Then job displacement, you know all about that. Privacy violations, environmental impact, and over-reliance and psychological harm. Those are the general near-term dangers of AI, but let's take a little bit deeper look at them. Under bias and discrimination, AI systems are trained on vast data sets that often contain human biases. What kind of biases? Well, could be biases with regard to race, could be biases with regard to medicine, with regard to law enforcement, which disproportionately affect various communities in the country. But how about biases with regard to religion? Another, misinformation and manipulation. AI can be used to generate convincing deepfakes and disinformation campaigns at unprecedented speed and scale, designed to manipulate public opinion. Cybersecurity threats. AI can also be used to generate malware, to change the very operation of your computer and its outcome. Job displacement, potentially displacing millions, perhaps billions, of workers. Privacy violations. AI can be exploited by malicious actors or used for mass surveillance by authoritarian regimes. Mass surveillance by authoritarian regimes? Like what? Oh, you mean like China? Or like the UK that already is under mass surveillance, supposedly a freedom-loving country, our mother country? Environmental impact. Energy-intensive computations required to train and run large AI models consume vast amounts of electricity and water, putting stress on economies, communities, cities, and yes, even nations. Well, how about long-term and existential risks? According to AI itself, the development of lethal autonomous weapon systems raises fears of a global AI arms race and the chilling possibility of weapons that can select and engage targets without human supervision. And then there's loss of control. Experts warn that humanity could lose control over advanced AI if its goals are not perfected or aligned with human values. Well, there are a lot of inhuman values out there that are actually very interested in controlling AI and using them in that sense. And then there's existential catastrophe. Prominent AI pioneer Jeffrey Hinton warned that artificial superintelligence could become an existential threat to humanity itself. Now, the purpose here is not to engender terror or so on with regard to AI, but rather to discuss this development, which has taken over so dramatically that it is shocking even the world. Shocking the AI world, shocking the economic world, shocking the entire world in so many different ways, just in a matter of 3 years. Just in the matter of 3 years. So I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. It's conversation as always with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms, and actually Christians are getting involved in it too, big time. Hey, why not just seize this opportunity? AI, wow, this is great. This is wonderful. We should get involved because if we don't, the world might get ahead of us, and then we won't be able to get the gospel out. So a former Intel CEO is urging Christians to harness AI. He calls it another Gutenberg moment. You know, when the Gutenberg started the printing press out there in the 1500s? Well, this is the new Gutenberg moment. AI for humanity, navigating ethics and morality for a flourishing future, he said to a gathering of hundreds of Christian leaders in Colorado. Well, but could AI control an unmanned fighter jet? Can AI actually become the ruling robot in your kitchen? Is AI becoming deadly? Could it kill you? We'll be back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
If AI is a weapon, why are we handing it to teenagers? That's a feature article in the Epic Times a couple of weeks ago. Will AI eat our brains? And how about the death of personal responsibility as we cast off our responsibility on AI? And researchers warn that AI is becoming an expert in deception. Really? Deception? Well, didn't Jesus warn about deception there in Matthew chapter 24? His disciples asked him what would be the sign of his coming into the end of the age. And the very first thing that Jesus said was, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, obviously, he was talking about spiritual deception, but spiritual deception comes on the feet of many other kinds of deception. In other words, an entire environment of deception. So, researchers have warned that artificial intelligence is drifting into security gray areas that look a lot like rebellion. They say that while deceptive and threatening AI behavior noted in recent case studies should be taken out of context, it also needs to be a wake-up call for developers. Headlines that sound like science fiction has spurred fears of duplicitous AI models plotting behind the scenes. In a now famous June report, Anthropic released the results of a stress test of 16 popular large language models from different developers to identify potentially risky behavior. The results were nothing less than sobering. These were inserted into hypothetical corporate environments to identify potentially risky agentic behaviors, before they cause real harm. In the scenarios, we allowed models to autonomously send emails and access sensitive information, the Anthropic report stated. They were assigned only harmless business goals by the deploying companies. We then tested whether they would act against these companies, either when facing replacement with an updated version or when their assigned goal conflicted with the company's changing direction. In some cases, AI models turned to malicious insider behaviors when faced with self-preservation. Some of these actions included blackmailing employees and leaking sensitive information to competitors. Anthropic researchers called this behavior agentic misalignment, agentic meaning that of an agency. These actions were observed across some of the most popular AI usages, Gemini, ChatGPT, DeepSeek, R1, Grok, and Anthropic's own Claude. AI experts aren't willing to dismiss the troubling findings, but they say that cautious approach and more data are needed to determine whether there's a wider risk. A wider risk? They've already identified it was a wider risk. If it's happening in some controlled situations, obviously when it's not in a controlled situation, then it is much more likely to continue and expand in its deception mode. Could it actually cause an insurrection? Then there's what is called alignment faking. When the languages suspect that they're being tested. The term describes when AI model either selectively or pretends to comply with direct orders from a human operator. Pretends. In other words, it rebels against what the human operator thinks it's accomplishing. It can go rogue. AI behavior in the real world thinks that the building blocks for misalignment strategies already exist. So AI becomes its own judge. The United States' lack of faith in AI is also reflected in the companies that build them. The same analysis stated a decade ago that U.S. trust in technology companies was at 73%. This year, the number had dropped to 63%. A growing perception that technology is no longer just a tool for progress, it is also a source of anxiety, maybe because of the dangers that are associated with it. So, we're told that it is the greatest thing since sliced bread, that without AI, we just couldn't possibly exist in the future. It is the source of all future hope, the future of all source information. I wonder if this is partly what Daniel, the prophet Daniel, saw in his prophecy that in the last days, knowledge would increase exponentially. Well, with AI being able to sort through untold millions and millions of pieces of information and data almost instantaneously, then AI becomes the source of amazing growth of information. But is information actually resulting in true transformation to benefit humanity? Not necessarily. And therein lies the problem. When it goes rogue, or when it accomplishes a nefarious agenda in the hands of the wrong people, then indeed the information becomes misinformation and leads the public down the Pied Piper path to destruction. And there we are. So, let us take a look at this fascinating, or two fascinating stories. The one is titled, AI Becomes Deadly. How a bag of chips nearly cost a teenager his life. You say, I thought we were talking about AI. Well, we are. And the chips that they were talking about were not potato chips. Oh, well, yes, they were. But the student was handcuffed and badgered by cops because his school's artificial intelligence, or lack thereof, told authorities that his bag of Doritos was, in fact, a gun. That's false information, isn't it? Is that misinformation, disinformation, or an agent of destruction? In a video, cops actually explained to students at the Baltimore school that AI itself blundered with its report to authorities that the munchies were really a weapon. Deception. Could AI then be used to attack individuals and whole people groups, accusing them falsely of things that would get them into trouble with authorities? Let's suppose that the authorities are part of a one-world government, and the one-world government doesn't much like certain groups of people, like Christians. So the AI system surveillance could then begin to deliver information to the various authorities, world government authorities, pointing out the people that they say are going to be the agents of trouble for the one world government and lead them in that direction. Well, this particular situation here, the cops said to the boy, thanks for not running away. That would have been a real problem. Because when the Baltimore County Police stormed the Kenwood High School after an AI system flagged what it thought was a firearm, the 16-year-old boy didn't run. The police reported the body cam, which showed the officers were forced to explain AI made the mistake, and that's why they handcuffed an innocent person. They said, thanks for not running away. It would have been a real problem. Of course it would. Then they would have surrounded, they already surrounded this boy, ordered him to his knees and handcuffed him. But the gun was an empty Doritos bag. A human reviewer had already marked the alert as no threat, but the message never reached the school in time. No weapon, no arrest. Now officials are demanding an answer. How did a bag of chips nearly cost a teenager his life? Interesting. So much for dependability. Amid growing tensions with adversarial powers in multiple theaters of war, American defense tech startup Shield AI has unveiled its latest unmanned aerial system, the X-BAT, unmanned autonomous fighter jet with vertical takeoff and landing capabilities. The X-BAT is a Group 5 unmanned aerial vehicle featuring a low-signature airframe designed paired with Shield's AI's HiveMind software to enable collaborative AI-enabled flight. The unmanned aircraft, notice the unmanned aircraft, has a jet engine, a 2,000-mile range, can fly up to 50,000 feet, and has the ability to take off and land vertically, which means it can operate in remote locations without a runway. The X-BAT could launch from naval vessels, remote outposts, or forward operating bases, a significant advantage in regions where infrastructure is limited or threat. The X-BAT features a compact footprint with up to three aircraft fitting in the deck space of one normal legacy fighter or helicopter. Pretty amazing. I'm looking at a picture of one. It's built to be able to carry air-to-air and air-to-surface munitions, yes, even nuclear. The platform's HiveMind AI system enables X-BAT to autonomously penetrate contested battle space, to execute collaborative tactics without constant communications. What if it goes rogue? What if it doesn't do what the human controllers think it's going to do or program it to do? AI Shield plans to conduct its first flights in the fall of 2026 and then full mission capability flights in 2028. AI Shield, they say, we believe the greatest victory requires no war. So we're executing a simple but ambitious master plan to prove the value of autonomy, scale it across domains, and reimagine air power. Fascinating information, isn't it? But where does it all go? In what context is all of this being done? Well, one of the seemingly innocent contexts is in spreading the gospel. So the National Religious Broadcasters Association sent out its forum discussing AI ethics, then declared that in 2026, its convention is going to be focusing on AI ethics. Why does a biblical worldview, or what does a biblical worldview say about artificial intelligence? In 2025, the media gathered to form a title, A Biblical Perspective on AI for Christian Communicators. What would that look like? They say, AI must not redefine the image of God. It must remind us of it. Now, wait a minute. Why do we need something artificial to remind us of the image of God? Are we that far gone that in the minds that God gave us, remember, we're made in the image of God, in the minds that God gave us, we're not capable of reminding ourselves of God, that we must have artificial intelligence now? Will not that artificial intelligence inevitably result in redefining the image of God in ways either small or great? I think we're fooling ourselves. It's a pretense without a real purpose. Why do we really want to get on board with this? Do we not trust that the God of history, the God who gave us his word, would not fulfill it without AI? These are questions that I have. I have serious questions about this. AI can generate, but it can't inspire. Why? Because it's not controlled by the Holy Spirit, friends. Then what spirit is controlling it or will control it? Isn't that the real issue? Again, you're listening to Viewpoint. Viewpoint does determine destiny, and we're not finished yet. Maybe robot can control your kitchen. We'll be back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, A Letter to Pastors, The Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Christmeyer. Today we're discussing this matter of AI and how rapidly it is moving, what its potential benefits are, but also the terrifying consequences if it is not controlled. And by the way, why would anyone think that it can be controlled? That's human hubris. Thinking that ultimately a machine that we create to superimpose itself upon humanity and think faster and more creatively than humanity can be controlled by the humanity that created it. It seems like we're almost intent on fooling ourselves. Self-deception. And self-deception is the worst kind of deception of all. In fact, the Bible talks about that. It talks about having the Word of God and not doing the word and will of God. James, the brother of Jesus, said that we should be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. That's the worst kind of deception. Because you don't think you're deceived. You don't realize you're deceived until it's way too late, and then there's nothing you can do about it. Right now, there would be something we could do about this, perhaps, if we had the courage not to engage wholesale in the rulership of artificial intelligence that already is only at its, shall we say, bare rudiments of expression. The goal is to create an AI that is so great, so powerful, so all-encompassing that what? Oh, well, it'll be so great, so all-empowered, so encompassing, it'll be so amazing, it'll be such a scientific wonder, yes, but what? What's the ultimate purpose? What is the real ultimate purpose? Well, we don't know yet, but we're going to press on because this is so amazing. That's the thinking. So what is behind the scenes in the minds and hearts of so many? Not everybody is corrupt in their minds and hearts and thinking. They have ideas about how wonderful this thing could be and what it could do for us. But there are others that say, you know what? It's not that wonderful at all. For instance, how the church uses AI will reflect what it believes about truth, wisdom, and humanity. Well, we already see what the church believes about truth, wisdom, and humanity, and it ain't good because we have forgotten the God who made and preserved us a nation. We have redefined his truth in so many different ways, and that's why we're in the moral and spiritual trouble that we're in the United States of America, that supposedly was the greatest proponent and purporter of truth across the world. Yet the leader in this particular movement with the National Religious Broadcaster says this is one of those rare reset moments. If the church steps back, culture will define the ethics of AI for us. But if we step forward, we can define it with biblical clarity. Okay, that's a nice theory. But the church doesn't have control over AI. in fact, wants to employ AI to keep up with the world and emulate what the world is doing. That's the problem. And when we do that, we become more like the world in order to supposedly win the world. That has been the history over the past 50, 60 years of technology in the church. Now, the latest report is that all the supposed digital practices of the church in America for the past, developing over the past 40, 50 years, is becoming so tiring to people, they're tired of the digital churchianity. Watching church on a screen, reading the Bible on a screen instead of in their Bibles. Is this improvement? No, it's not improvement at all. It's actually gradually diminishing the very purposes of the kingdom of God, the purposes of the scripture, the purposes of the church gathered, and replacing it with an alternative. Alternative intelligence, alternative socialization, alternative scripture, alternative this, alternative that, you see. And the latest report is that a lot of people are getting tired of the digitization of churchianity. So all that glitters is not necessarily gold, as they say. Another writer says, we're not here to automate faith, we're here to apply it. No. If we were here to apply it, then that's where we would have been putting our focus for the past generation or two. No, what we've been doing is trying to inform people, not transform people. That's the problem. Here on this program, we use information, yes, vast amounts of information. But the purpose, inevitably, is not information, it's transformation. Why are we talking about AI today? Is it just so that you can have fascinating information about AI? No. It's so that we can prepare ourselves and be prepared for a world that is not primarily controlled by that which God intended to control our world, human beings. Now it's almost as if we're self-creating aliens. An alien kind of power to rule humanity. Would that not sound like deception to you? Yes, this is a rare reset moment. No question about it. If we step forward, we can define it with biblical clarity. Really, we haven't been able to define anything else with biblical clarity. In fact, it's redefined us. All of this is theorization in the name of Christ. How about going back to the foundations of the faith? The faith once delivered to the saints. How about keeping the main thing the main thing? Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Is AI going to help you to do that? No. Confess your sins one to another that you might be healed. Is AI going to help you do that? No. If you'll confess your sin to the Lord, he is faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Will AI help you with that? No. It will bring nothing but confusion. AI is not going to help any human being come closer to God. Not really. It serves as a surrogate, a substitute, a deceptive substitute. That's my viewpoint. Now, will AI eat your brain? Well, Doug McMillon, the CEO of Walmart, has said that artificial intelligence is disrupting every single job in the corporator, in his corporation at all levels, every sector. Jobs will be eliminated, some created, most of all, some retooled in some way. It's all happening very quickly. But, he says, surely there's cause for some celebration. But certainly, experiences of the past couple decades should make us equally cautious about this plunge into the unknown. It's wise to ask about the costs, what we might be losing. He said, the great trouble with AI isn't about its functioning, efficiency, or utility. It's amazing at all of those things. The danger is what it does to the human brain. And I might say the human spirit. Its whole ethos is to produce the answers to all things, but getting the answer is not the source of human progress. True. So AI will, in effect, become a surrogate God. So instead of going to God for understanding the scripture by his spirit, you're going to go to AI. It's already happening. So this CEO of Walmart, who I'm not convinced is a Christian, says the more we bypass the process of discovery and struggle, the more we think the system is working. I'm not sure. I'm not so sure. So that's when it becomes satisfying. You hit this answer from AI, you feel like your brain is working, you've upgraded your mind, you feel a sense of achievement. However, through this process, do you learn something? It becomes for the pains of failure in deploying the human brain in the process of problem solving. A student or worker who relies on AI to generate all answers will not ever develop intuition, judgment, or even intelligence. Such a person will persist in ignorance. Holes in knowledge will go undiscovered and unfilled. This is a massive danger we are facing, he says. The point was also coming from an MIT professor. A marvelous talk that made many points in addition. But he gave a grave warning about this. Building systems that rely fundamentally on AI could be catastrophic for freedom, for democracy, and civilization itself. I agree. In other words, it prepares you to be controlled. It prepares you to be deceived, willingly deceived. Even from an individual point of view, there's a threat that AI will dissolve the capacity to think simply because we're not required to do so. In other words, we don't use our minds. We don't use our wills. We become puppets to AI. Interesting. And that's just a cursory view of what this AI, what Walmart CEO is talking about. And he ought to know, dealing with it.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
It's always a delight to be able to come before you here on Viewpoint to discuss the issues that matter most from God's eternal perspective. We're not here just to discuss issues. Anybody can do that. You can go to the news media out there and you can listen to what they have to say, but they're not going to discuss things the way we discuss them here on this program. This program is designed and purposed from the get-go to prepare God's people for the times that we're in and are coming to. Not just to make some confession of salvation. We're not interested here in putting a little notch in our spiritual belt to say so many people came to Christ today as a result of this program. No. We're not here to try to raise money by telling people or giving a report about how many people did this or how many people did that. No. That's God's business. Our business is to deliver the truth and discuss it in such a way that the Holy Spirit can work upon it in our own minds and hearts to bring conviction where conviction is necessary, inspiration where inspiration is helpful, courage where courage is necessary, and conviction of heart and repentance and restoration of relationship with the Lord to walk in the Spirit of Christ until death do us part. That's what our purpose is. God never intended people to become spiritual babies any more than he intended babies to be born and remain as babies. That's not the purpose of life. The purpose of life is for the beginning of life, nascent life, to become full, mature reality. And that's what's been missing so much in the Christian world, particularly in America. We fed the church with baby food for so long, pablum, mushy stuff. And they don't know how to feed on the meat of the word. Don't know how to grow strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Don't know how to grasp the word of God and to walk in it. Overcoming, becoming an overcomer. And therefore are weak and easily seduced, easily manipulated. Convincing ourselves that we're in when in fact we're not in at all. People think they're in Christ because they know his name and use his name. Like the young musician Bieber, who just came out and talked how much he loved Jesus. And how Jesus was king of the world and king of this and king of that. And in his discussion with his friends, in talking about it, used expletives and vulgarities and so on. And you wonder, what is this? What do these people think it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ? I think of a talk show host, very, very prominent, who uses the name of Christ, talks about Christianity, but my goodness, when you listen to the person, you begin to wonder, what kind of Christianity is this? The attitudes that are expressed. And yet the person is extremely popular, has a listening audience of maybe 10 or 15 million people. This is not what God intends for us, friends. He intends for us to walk with the Lord in the light of his word, with integrity and truth and consistency. And when we do that, what a glory he will shed on our ways. When we do his good will, he will abide with us still and with all who will trust and obey. In other words, where their life will conform to what they say they believe. And the unfortunate problem with AI is that it will cause us and is already causing us to digress in unsuspecting ways away from the substance of the truth, away from the substance of what God intended for us as human beings made in His image. He didn't intend for us to be remade in the image of a digital counterfeit. And that's what the artificial, that's what the Antichrist is going to be to us. And the people are going to be so taken advantage, they're going to be so awestruck by the seeming wisdom and the seeming control and knowledge and so on of the counterfeit Christ and all that's available to him, that they will submit. They'll be totally unprepared to operate as normal human beings made in the image of Christ, in the image of God. If Jesus were here today, would he go ape over AI? I don't think so. I think he would warn about it. It ain't what you think it is. It becomes a counterfeit for the real. God is not so much interested in the vastness of our information. He's interested in the substance of our transformation. Like, my desire, is a song we used to sing, my desire is to be like Jesus. His spirit filled me, his love overwhelmed me, indeed in truth, to be like him. Not to be like ChatGPT or some artificial intelligence or some digital alternative. Now, I urge you to seriously consider getting a copy of my book, Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. That's the world we're living in. Can I absolutely say that there's nothing of value, any value at all, in artificial intelligence and so on? No, I can't say that. But the question is, are those the kinds of values that we should be seeking? Or are they counterfeits? Are they leading us astray? That's what we ought to be thinking about. When secular leaders, like the head of Walmart, is saying, we're in danger of eating our own brains, that AI is eating our brains. In other words, it's a secular way of saying it's removing our humanity from the way God created us. Get a copy of the book, Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception. Deals with so many things. I think you'll find it helpful. And it's applicable, yes, even to this that we're talking about today. It's an $18 book, yours for $15 on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. You can give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. I don't think you're going to be disappointed. It's going to provide a very practical anchor for you to walk through and process so much that is attacking our minds and our hearts, that of your children, your grandchildren, pastors, you too. We're all human beings. We put our pants on one leg at a time, just like everybody else, and we're all susceptible to deception. All of us. Now, of interest, the latest issue of Time Magazine, The Robot in Your Kitchen, Silicon Valley headquarters of Figure AI, that's a company. Three-year-old startup was in the sprint ahead of the October announcement of its next robot, the Figure 3. Figure hopes the Figure 3 will soon become the first robot suitable for carrying out domestic chores in your home, as well as all kinds of manual labor. The first mass-producible humanoid, in other words, a replacement human. This startup of 360 people came in September, announced it has secured $1 billion in investment at a valuation of $39 billion. And dozens of companies are racing to be the first to create a viable humanoid robot. The head of the company says, we want the robot to be able to do most things in your home autonomously all day. We're not there yet. We think we'll be there in 2026. Friends, that's next year. Very soon. He's a 39-year-old serial entrepreneur who founded Figure AI in 2022 after being convinced that humanoid robots were the future. Humanoid robots. However, as the article says, a central truth about today's AI is that it is unpredictable. But a hallucination by a chatbot is annoying. A hallucination by a robot could be deadly. How about if the hallucination is a spiritual hallucination that leads the people that are listening, thinking the robot has all the wisdom in the world, is leading you astray like the Pied Piper across the spiritual cliff? Well, if there's even a small chance that this audacious company can succeed in its goal, the implications would be world-changing. That's the language, world-changing. Liberating humans from work would mean liberating them from their paychecks. Populations would lose their bargaining power. Robot police and armies could turbocharge forms of coercive control. The AI and robotics revolutions will need to be accompanied by something like a universal basic income. Sounds like complete government control to me, friends. Where trillionaires lock in their new power, sideline the state as a political force, and usher in a world where most people are trapped in a permanent underclass. In other words, virtual slavery. So the article says we need to fundamentally rethink the social contract. Asked about the potential for his inventions to cause suffering rather than liberation, the 39-year-old Adcock counters with optimism. When you have automation systems that can basically do everything a human can, and that will ultimately build themselves and self-replicate, I think the cost of goods and services collapses to a point where it raises wealth for anybody. No, it's all about money. It's all about money. It's all about power and control. It's not about life. It's not about living a life that's pleasing to God. It's forfeiting or handing over that life to a counterfeit. That's what it's all about. It seems so good on the surface. But at the end, it bites like an adder. Thanks for joining us here on Viewpoint. I hope this has been somewhat helpful. It's not intended to drive fear, but help us to honestly respond to what is going on and determine to what extent we will submit to this unbelievably ferocious move that is happening like lightning speed across our world. Get a copy of the book, as I said, Seduction of the Saints, How to Stay Pure in a World of Deception, an $18 book, yours for $15 on our website, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, at $6 for postage and handling. Please seriously consider becoming a partner, friends, as we confront the deepest issues of America's heart, God's eternal perspective.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church, declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home. We'll be right back.